the General Failure Podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 268 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of February 16th, 2021. This week, we go flying, your face goes realistic, and Remedy makes passive income. I'm TJ, and I've got with me Dom.
Sup?
And the CJs.
Hey.
Nice yawn there.
Thank you.
And we'll start off like we usually are with what are you playing? CJ, you're playing something.
I am. So around Christmas, I think it was for Christmas, I got a new board game that I've been wanting for a while called Wingspan. And it's from Stonemaier Game. And basically,
is this the box that has the big bird on it?
Yes, it is.
Blue.
Yep. Yep.
I've always seen it, but I've never played it.
It's a beautiful game. Absolutely beautiful game. It has a ridiculous amount of bits in it that's just like completely unnecessary, but just makes it so much better. Like All right. So the whole premise about the game is like you're a bunch of like bird conservationists. So you're kind of like,
oh,
collecting birds and then
shooting birds out of the sky,
hatching new ones. And there's a
shooting simulator 2020
shooting simulator. Love it. Oh man, there should be a skeet shooting simulator.
There really should be.
That would be really boring though, I think. But anyway, so there's the like I said, the basic concept of the game is just that like there are three different types of places where you can kind of keep your birds. There's like a forest, there's a grasslands, and there's a wetlands. And as
I thought
the game
one
progresses,
would be like your backyard on a rocking chair with magnifying goggles and shit, just like looking
binoculars.
Out there like binoculars. I couldn't think of the word.
Magnifying goggles. I like that.
Magnifying goggles.
You know, binoculars out there being like, oh, the robin's back today.
But so anyway, like I said, you're basically just collecting birds and, you know, putting eggs on them. And what I really like about the game is it's really variable. Like there's a lot of different ways. Like every time you play it, it's going to change how the game scores. And
yeah, you get different guns to shoot the birds.
Right. Different guns to shoot the birds. Right. And
I just want to make this game.
Oh God. Wingspan Death Edition. Instead of like it's mounting birds and you got to mount them in three different areas. Okay. Yep. Anyway. Oh, where the fuck was I, Thomas? So I think like the game's really good. I mean, I'm a bird enthusiast. I don't know. I like birds. And I've been
tell
wanting
that
to
the
game.
Duck you got stuffed over there.
What's get out of here? Hey, my duck hunting license goes to help conservation. It's true, conservation is down this
fuck
year.
Fuck you,
people
Donald
are
Duck. Blow your non-existent pants off your fucking ass.
It's not my fault that they have corkscrew penises.
Duck
rape is a real problem. All right. So anyway, the game, the fucking game. So let me talk about the goddamn game for a second. It's really good. It's really simple. Or it feels really simple, but there's a lot going on. Like I said, the game can be very variable in how it scores because it's played over four rounds, and at the end of each round, you kind of tally up a different score, and it can be a bunch of different things. For like, you get a point for each egg that is on a bird in your wetlands, you know, at the end of that round. And a kind of interesting way that the game works is over the four rounds, when you first start off the first round, you get eight actions to take. But at the end of the round, you use one of your action cubes to mark your score for that round. So in the second round, you now have seven actions. So each round you have less and less like stuff to do, or less and less actions to use. And I thought that was really interesting But getting to the fact that this game feels like, I don't know if they just got like a shit ton of money to make this game, but the, like I said, everything's beautiful. Like the your personal player mats, they're huge. Like these, they're huge, you know, these full size player mats. Mm. And they feel really good. And when you close them up, like they have these really nice like backings to them and everything. There's like
oh wow, a bunch of like, eggs. I'm looking on the website right now. It looks really nice.
There's a fucking lot of dice. Eggs. There's a dice tower. The game comes with a dice tower.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I see that. And it looks like a birdhouse.
Like a birdhouse?
Yeah. It's a little birdhouse. Yeah. Fun fact, there are 5 different colors of eggs. The colors do not fucking matter.
They all just taste decided. The same?
Yeah, they do all taste the same.
I wonder if you could like for Easter play this game and like change those out for like the gummy ones you can get.
Yeah, or like the chocolate ones.
Yep. It was funny because I just like bought my wife, because one of her favorite candies is like these little Easter eggs. They're like covered in, they're like chocolate, but they're like a hard shell on them. It's like
the ones
giant.
That kind of have like a little bit of a chalky exterior, but they're maybe like solid chocolate inside. I think, yeah. I know which ones.
Yeah, she loves those. But they look exactly like this.
That's
like,
why. Should, yeah.
You should just play with those.
You can have a snack game, after. That's the best cleanup ever. You don't have to clean the game up. You just eat it.
Oh, I was thinking mix half and half, and then it's a guessing game.
Now you don't Russian know. Roulette, huh?
Nice snack or broken teeth. All right.
Yay. But it just seems really extra. Like even the, there's like a plastic piece. I don't know if you can see it in any of the pictures that the cards get stored in. And the top of that is kind of like when you're dealing out the cards, there are always 3 birds that are available to choose from when you're drawing
cards.
Yeah, it's
got really nice design work. Like that top piece you're talking about has like a nice bird on top and shit.
Yeah, but it's like, it's weird because it's like tapered. Like it's like they're not all like even with each other. They're kind of like turning a little bit when you have the 3 on top. I don't know. It's just an interesting, like just everything about it was just like, I don't know. It just seems like a game where like this is pretty simple. So here's just a shit ton of money to spend on all of like the bits, like the bird art. And because I like, I'm not even joking. I don't know if there are duplicates of birds, and there's a ton of cards in this game.
Yeah, I'm looking at like all the pieces here, and it's like there's cubes, there's eggs, there's dice. Then there are
custom dice.
And it looks like there are 4 different types of cards and tokens.
There's 5 different types of tokens. There's 2 different types of cards, but like the bird cards are like huge stacks of cards. Like there's a lot of them. And there's also a scoring pad in there that has a single player scoring on the back of each of the pages, so that does double duty.
There's expansion packs too.
Yeah.
That card with the grass and everything on it, that's your player mat.
Yeah.
Each person gets one of those. Yeah. There's just 5. Like, this is just one of those games where it's like there's so much stuff in it.
Yeah. And there's 5 of those.
Guess how much it is from them. Guess how much it is.
I would think $60.
Yeah. $60.
$60. That's like, that's really not bad.
No, that's not terrible for the amount of shit
you're
getting.
That you get.
Yeah. It really
the
honestly
expansions
isn't.
Are pretty expensive. The European expansion is $25, and the Oceania expansion is $30.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit much.
Yeah.
So what's the purpose of the game?
It's you're just trying to score as many points as possible, but the whole, like I said, each round has its own scoring mechanic. And then at the end of the game, like there's a bunch of extra things, like however many eggs that you have on your birds, you can, some birds are, what are they called? I think it might be like the predatory birds, like they cache stuff. So like, they might like store things. So like, instead of spending food, because when you want to hatch a new bird, you have to spend food to feed that bird, and then you can put it on your player mat.
Some birds. I'm looking at a picture with that where like an owl has little mice on it.
Yeah.
So this game includes meeples on top of everything.
Well, those little the little tokens.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The picture that I'm looking at have like 3D printed little ones.
Oh no, that's just someone being special.
Okay.
That's someone being extra.
Extra.
Extra. But yeah, like some birds can cache food on top of them, and that's worth points at the end of the game. And some birds, like, they tuck cards underneath them. So those are like the three mechanics of the game: is cards, food, and eggs. So like there's a ton of different ways to get points, and it really all depends on like how you want to go about doing it. And then, like I said, there's three different areas that you can put the birds. So there's like the forest is where you have your like food action. That's where you're collecting all your food. Grassland is where you're hatching all of the eggs, and the wetland is where you're drawing cards, getting more of those bird cards. So
there's also everybody on their website, there's also a link to one of the Etsy's. I guess they like help out because they make a dice tower for like the...
I think I'm looking at it. It's huge. Yeah,
it's huge, but it looks so nice.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, I guess, nice. They like work with the people.
It seems like it's a very game. Complicated game for such a on the surface simple premise.
Yeah, it really isn't that bad. Like once you get into it, it's a really quick game.
Yeah.
I think like the I think it says like 40 to 60 minutes on the box.
Mm-hmm. There's three rule books. Holy shit.
Yeah. So well, and that's the thing is when you pull everything out, you're like, holy shit, this is a complicated game. There's a lot of stuff here. But there's a main rule book. There's an appendix that's just like to look at quickly if you want answers to like, okay, I don't understand this card. You can go to the appendix and look it up. Mm-hmm. And then there's a single player rule book. So it really isn't, there aren't really three rule books. There's really one rule book, an appendix, and then a single player version of the game.
Mm-hmm. So is it 40 to 60 minutes to play the game, or does that 40 to 60 minutes include the 28 minutes of setup time to get everything fucking ready?
Yeah, I can't imagine the first time you go to play this game because you got to probably punch out everything.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Take an hour to do that.
So if you don't want to spend $60 on it, it's available on Switch for $16.
Yeah, it's on Steam too. And it's funny because the game came with a Steam code on it. And I was like, oh, cool, I get the game on Steam. No, I get 30% off the game on Steam.
Oh, that's horseshit.
I was like, you can't even give me like a copy of the, like I bought the physical game from you. You can't give me the digital version. I'm like,
that's fucked up.
Like, oh, you only play four rounds.
Yeah.
That's probably why it's so short.
Yeah, and it goes, and like I said, like once you get the hang of it, like once you get through that first round where you have eight actions, you're like, okay, like I kind of like have a better idea of what I'm doing. But then I said each round you have less actions. So in the fourth round you only have five actions, right? 8, 7, 6, 5. Yeah, five actions.
I would want to play a version where you have to get every bird.
Yeah,
it's like Pokemon, like Monopoly or some shit.
Yeah, gotta catch them all.
Yeah, I made the big mistake of I kept picking my favorite birds. Yes, I have favorite birds, and they all
what are
end
you, a
up
fucking
being
state.
They ended up being like 0 point birds that really like didn't do.
They
much.
Probably did that on purpose.
Yeah,
so that to make you avoid getting just the booby and the titmouse.
Oh my god, there are so many. We're constantly playing this game, and it's like the coxswain, or like they're like the word cock, tit, booby, like is used so often.
See, those are all the birds that I would get.
This is a bunch of old dudes sitting in the backyard naming birds.
Oh, there was
like
one. I can't remember.
Birds.
Oh shit, what was it? It was a. It was like Jared something. I gotta find
Jared
it.
Jared goes to jail.
Maybe. I was just like, it was just one of those things where it was like, who is this guy? He's just like, I'm gonna name this one after me.
Yeah,
my name
I did just
Jared.
See one that said Anna's hummingbird.
Yeah.
Yeah, like sorry. So there's the Andean cock of the rock, the Himalayan snow cock.
Like, there's so many
long waddled umbrella bird.
Long waddle.
Yeah. You know why he's waddling? Because he's long.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, there's 170 unique bird cards.
It's ridiculous.
I didn't know there were 170 birds, period.
Yeah, and remember, this is, I'm pretty sure this is only North America.
Yeah, that's why they have the expansions for Europe and the Oceania. Yeah. There's also a big box version that you can buy that probably has both versions, all the expansions and stuff.
Bro, there's a bird named the Satanic Nightjar. That's fucking awesome.
Oh.
Birds are awesome.
Little the, bustard.
You can buy it.
Dick Sissel.
Jesus. Apparently it's a prototype of just the box right now. Oh, there's not like a big version.
Yeah.
To like hold all the expansions and stuff in one box.
One thing I will say is really cool is the side. If you lift up the side of the box, it tells you how to put everything into the box. Like it shows you a layout of how everything should everything fit goes. In the box.
That's nice.
That
shows
really
you
cool.
like a nice, easy way to put stuff away, but also shows you what you get in the box when you go to buy it.
Yeah. Did you see the? So like the round mechanic, there's like it's called like the objective scoreboard.
I think so. Yeah.
That was an interesting concept too, because they have, they call it like, there's like a competitive version and a non-competitive version. So either like we played just cause it was our first time, we played on the non-competitive version, and it's usually like, whatever the objective is, like I said, like, the amount of eggs at the end of round one that are on the wetland birds, but you can only score like up to 5. So if I had 4 eggs on my wetland birds, I only get 4 points. And if like whoever else is playing gets 4, they also get 4 points. Then there's the competitive side. So for that same round, then it's based off of first, second, third, fourth. So if like Dom and I both get 4 eggs on our wetland birds, we come in first, and TJ got 3, he comes in third.
Oh, so it's that kind of scoring.
I see.
Yeah, it's that kind of scoring, and it makes it, like I say, it's much more competitive with the,
yeah,
but like the scoring at the end of the game is like, it, like you're doing math, and I was just like, I don't want, that's too much math, because then you're getting like averages of, because if we both come in first, we don't get the points for first. We split it depending on, I think, like the amount of people that are playing or
it
something.
It sounds like Seven Wonders kind of math.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Also, if you buy the base game plus the 2 expansions, you get 346 birds.
I like it. I like it.
Jesus Christ.
I'm hoping that this is one of the 346 birds you get. This motherfucker's name is the Fluffy Back Tit Babbler.
Tit Babbler.
What?
I what need
are
to see
ornithologists
this.
Doing?
More like hornithologists, am I right?
Tit?
Yeah, Fluffy Backed Tit Babbler.
Tit Babbler.
I'm just going to spend the rest of the night looking up stupid fucking bird names.
Oh, I've seen this thing before.
I bet you have.
yep, point up, baby. Yeah, I've seen this thing in like nature documentaries and shit.
Tit babbler.
Tit babbler. Oh, this one's stuffed.
The noisy scrub bird. All birds are noisy scrubs.
Yo, bird, you know you're a scrub.
No, I don't want no scrub. Yeah, that's all I got to say about it. I highly recommend the game. It's a beautiful game. It's a lot of fun to play. It's pretty simple, and you get a lot of shit for the amount of money
that
you're spending.
Oh, they make Scythe, too.
Yeah, Stonemaier is the publisher.
Yeah. I know they made Scythe, too. That's a good one.
Yeah, they make a lot of good games. I like Stonemaier a lot.
So go check them out. $60 on their site. Maybe find cheaper or buy in your local store if you can order online.
Yeah.
Don't go into their stores. Don't
get
be that
dirty.
Guy. Get dirty. Get dirty. Let's go with what else we are playing. Me and Dom, because we talked about Anthem last week or the week before. Was it last week?
Last week.
We felt like checking out Anthem to see how it's been progressing.
Yeah, I had to do it. Yeah, I had to get back in there.
I had to get back in. And I will say, without a doubt, nothing has changed.
Yes.
Nothing has changed in that game since I played it 2 years ago. Like, we're playing the exact same levels over and over again. None of the equipment's changed. Like, it doesn't seem like they've done anything.
Anything? Yeah. The worst part is... Yeah. So there are four javelins to unlock. Mm-hmm. And each one, you unlock one of, you know, you unlock one every couple levels. I think, I don't know what the levels are, but you start with one at level one, and that's probably like 8, and then like 12 or 13 or something, and then 26 is the last one that you unlock. I was at level 17, so I had not unlocked my fourth javelin yet, and I started playing through the story, and I went in and just picked up from where I left off. I was on the last mission of the game, and I beat the game. And I am 9 levels shy of unlocking the last character. Not like legendary equipment or any shit like that. The fucking characters of the game. There's 4 of them, and I beat the game well before unlocking all of them.
Yep.
Wow.
That's not good.
And there's a thing where you can just kind of jump into other people's games, like strongholds, and you can randomize them. Mm-hmm. I must have done, I don't know, 20, 30 different times I did that. Same exact mission over and over and over again. I played nothing different.
And it's the same damn mission that I was like, I think I played this stronghold before, and I was explaining it to TJ, and he's like, yeah, that's the same one I've been playing.
Yep.
It's like you got one stronghold and that's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like, that's really all you can really, I mean, you can go free roam, but there's not really any different things out there either. Like, it just hasn't progressed since day one.
Yeah, there was a couple of temples that I ended up doing during free roam that were cool.
Yeah,
but like, it was like this cool little side thing that I just happened to find, and that was it. Once after you beat the game, you can do legendary missions, and they're all just full of glitches. So I did this one legendary mission 3 times. Twice, you know, during the final mission, I got disconnected from the servers twice at the exact same spot that I was standing in. I thought it was my internet, but I was like, there's no way that my internet happened to disconnect at the exact same spot twice. It's the fucking, this is the game. And then when I was doing the legendary things, I got disconnected a couple times. And at one point it was the same thing it always is: bring reactor parts or whatever to do this, to light the beacon, collect the orbs and fly them back, eliminate all the enemies. And it eliminate all the enemies popped up, and we eliminated the rest of the enemies, and it just glitched and never progressed. So there's no more enemies on screen, and we can't do the next objective. So me and this other person were just flying around for a while trying to find these other enemies that the game was saying existed, and they didn't exist. And I just left the game after probably legitimately like 10 minutes of that.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been dropped. I'm on PC, and I've been dropped a bunch of times too from their servers. It's not our internet. Our internet's not great either, but it's definitely their servers of just dropping us randomly for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
It just seems like they were just like, all right, we're going to redo this game, and we're not going to release anything until we're done. So I could see why
they might not be redoing it.
Yeah, I could see why EA could be like, nah, we're done. You've done nothing the last 2 years. Go suck a dick.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, we talked about the internal review that was happening at some point last week, and I haven't heard anything since. There's been no information about how that internal review went, and I have to imagine that if it went well, we would have heard that it went well and that Anthem Next is on its way or continuing or anything. It seems like the executives at EA were not happy with what they saw, or they just didn't see anything and were like, you need to do another presentation now.
Yeah. You need to show something off, get the ball rolling kind of thing.
Yep.
It sucks. 'Cause like, the core mechanic's fun and the game plays fun, but there's just nothing to do.
Yeah.
Like, the game's still empty. I thought there would be something more, but there's really nothing different. It sucks because the game's fun, but
The last tweet from the Anthem Twitter account is October 28th. They retweeted BioWare, an update on Anthem's Javelin gameplay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, they've been pretty silent this entire time, which...
It's just not a good...
Not a good thing. I'm still hopeful for the next update, but it doesn't look good, honestly.
Yeah, and it's just... it's so disappointing because like it had such promise. It's got such an awesome idea, and like it's really a lot of what people would have loved if there was just content. There's a lot of people that did love it. They just wanted that content. Like, I just can't believe that that EA is likely going to pull the plug on this when it's just like you could have had something special if you just gave people the time to do it the right way.
They're
rather
also,
than being EA.
There has been like hashtags for them, I believe, in Anthem by like different companies and stuff, especially on their subreddit. There's a lot of people that are coming in from different games going like, hey, we're from the Division subreddit and I believe in Anthem.
Yeah.
So like it's really cool to see other people come in and be like, hey, you know, we hope that you can get your game going and moving and grooving, because the base is good. It just lacks stuff.
Yeah, it lacks variety and it lacks content. Like every mission is the same. All there's like, you know, what, four different enemies that you can fight.
If that
and and all of the different things that you do boil down to the same thing. It's either collecting those orbs, bringing the pieces to the center, silencing whatever, I forgot what it's called, like, you know, which is basically just a king of the hill. You just stand in the aura until the time runs out, and then you fight a big boss, and that's it.
Which I was doing hard on the strongholds, and it was pretty fucking easy.
Yeah,
I was doing with like one other person and I would blast through it.
Yeah, the game is not that hard. I played the whole thing on normal, which is probably why I didn't level up enough to unlock the next thing, but like,
but still,
you know, you just plow through it and like they're like it's nothing.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping this week sometime, maybe by the end of it, that they update and say, hey, we're coming out with stuff.
Hopefully.
So moving on, some nerd news. I have some nerd news. So Remedy Entertainment, they made Control and many other games. They have posted that they have doubled their profits from last year. And they have not released a game this year. they're behind Max Payne 2 and any of those other games. They said they raked in 13.2 million euros by...
What's that in freedom units?
I have no fucking idea.
Seven.
In 2019, they posted 6.5 million. So they doubled their profit between last year and this year, all from releasing the game outside of Epic Games and the PlayStation.
Yeah, and they released like the, I don't know if it was the definitive edition of Control, but there's also the cloud edition of Control that I think is available on Switch and Stadia.
Mm-hmm.
And like that definitely sold a lot. I think that Quantum Break might have been also put on Game Pass, which probably helped sell Control, because Quantum Break starring Sean Ashmore was one of their games too. And
yep,
you know, they make good games. Quantum Break is one of those games that was like really not well received and didn't do well, but every person that I've ever heard who played it was like, this is actually a really great game. And there's like, it's one of those games where there's no explanation as to why it didn't do as good as it should have.
Huh.
Yeah, so marketing. they released the PC version on Steam, so you didn't have to buy an Epic Games. There was an Xbox Game Pass release. There was the cloud release for Switch. And then they released an Ultimate Edition, which had all of the DLC and stuff like that for everywhere. Apparently, the version on the Xbox Series X and the PS5 wasn't great.
That kind of surprises me.
Yeah. Those who had the Ultimate Edition could get upgraded for free, while those who had the vanilla release did not.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's really weird how they released that game. But it's just crazy to show that just opening up from Epic Games, they made so much more money. So it shows that like putting yourself on one platform gets you no money whatsoever.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's that or if it's more putting themselves on one platform and then opening themselves up is gets more attention because Control, if I remember correctly, was a PlayStation exclusive at first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alan Wake, yep. I believe, was also a PlayStation exclusive. Yeah. Quantum Break
was... I think Quantum Break was a... I feel like it was an Xbox exclusive.
Quantum Break was an Xbox exclusive. Sorry, Alan Wake was also an Xbox exclusive. Was it? Alan Wake, Quantum Break were Xbox exclusives. And their next game that's coming out this year, Crossfire X, is also an Xbox exclusive. So, like, I'm wondering what the... Why was Control put out on PlayStation first? Like
it's probably whoever coughed up the most money.
Probably.
Honestly. I mean, I'd do the same as well.
Yeah. Oh, no. It was released on Windows, PS4, and Xbox One the same day.
Oh, was it?
Control,
oh, I
yeah.
thought it was a... Oh, it was because it...
Epic had
Epic
the
had,
piece,
the
had a year-long PC. Exclusivity deal.
That's what it was.
On PC.
Yep. That's
and
why
then
I never bought
it.
It
was released on Steam. On after exactly 1 year, it was released on Steam. And that's when I bought it, was on Steam. Because fuck Epic.
Yeah. I think that's what happened also. Like, they opened themselves up to more than just people who played on Epic, which was nobody. So
yeah. So it's very strange that, like, they're very much like, it seems like they're, you know, an Xbox game maker, you know, to some degree, but Max Payne was on all the consoles and Control was on all the consoles. I guess it just depends on who publishes them, because Rockstar published the Max Payne games, Alan Wake and was published, Quantum Break, Alan Wake, and Crossfire are all published by Microsoft. So I guess it just depends on who decides to publish their games. But
yeah, that might be it too.
If Microsoft was smart, they would probably buy Remedy outright and just make them an exclusive developer at this point, because they've gotten several good games under their belt.
Yeah.
It's time. These are the types of games that could sell consoles and that they should just stick with.
I'm just hoping that the rumors that there's a new Alan Wake game coming,
yep,
are false, and that they just do Control instead.
Why do you hope that Alan Wake is false?
Because I don't want a new Alan Wake game, because I give a shit about Alan Wake. I mean, the DLC in Control was cool. That was tied to Alan Wake, but I don't care. I want more Control, because that game was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it really is. To me, I've never played Alan Wake. I haven't played Quantum Break either. But like the I don't want to say the Control, but the Control in Control, like the gameplay itself was like perfect. Like the way you moved, the shooting, the powers and everything, it played so insanely well. That's what I'm looking for. And if Alan Wake and Quantum Break play the same way, then they're probably fucking dope games too.
No, I think they play like completely different, because they're not the kind of same powers kind of thing. Maybe Quantum Break is. Alan Wake is like a story-driven game.
Yeah, and story-driven games, and I'll get to my story-driven game that I've been playing recently. Sometimes they're just not my speed.
Yeah. I like them, but it can be hit or miss depending on how the controls are.
Right.
This is also based off of controls based off the SCP Foundation, which is one of my favorite things ever. So, like, that's why I'm excited about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tie-ins to it, so it's really cool to see all this kind of hidden stuff.
Right.
For your true fan, true believers.
True believers.
Quantum Break has a 9 out of 10 on Steam. Very positive reviews, but it's $40. Why isn't this shit on Game Pass? I want it for free, man. Come on. What? All right, so it's got 90 on Steam. It's got very good reviews. Metacritic 66. What is it about this game that for whatever reason the critics just fucking hated?
Yeah, God knows. And it might be a thing where it aged well over time.
Mm-hmm.
That it was kind of became a cult classic more than anything else.
Yeah,
but I'm excited for this company. I'm excited to see if maybe this pushing money pushes out a new Control faster than they thought they would.
Hopefully, because Control 2 would be great, because the first one, like you said, is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And also goes to show that a game releasing isn't end-all be-all. You can still make a ton of money. And also shows that you don't have to sit on one platform, that being multi-platform right. makes you the most money overall.
Listen, GTA 5 has shown us that you can make money well after the game is released.
Well after the game. Oh, boy. So let's take a quick break to line our pockets with cash. We'll be right back. And we're back. So moving on to some geek on, geek off. Dom, you got some stiffs.
Mm-hmm. So Epic's Unreal Engine is obviously the biggest engine ever. I mean, Unreal Engine is like what everybody strives to build their games on because it's so powerful.
Yeah.
And it looks insanely good. Epic has revealed a new tool that is powered by the Unreal Engine called the MetaHumans. It's called the MetaHuman Creator, and it is a tool that you can use to make unbelievably realistic human faces.
Wow.
And I, like, words can't really do it justice. You have to go on YouTube or something and look for, there's two videos, one called Meet the MetaHumans and the other one just called MetaHuman Creator. They're both on Unreal's, I think they're on Unreal Engine's YouTube page. And the faces that they're making with this tool are just like, it's fucking incredible what they've done.
And yeah, it's nuts. Like, I'm watching like a GIF of it and it's fucking crazy how some of this looks.
Yeah. You're watching the one where they like go through the age and put the hair on the guy so he looks like an old Kevin Sorbo. Like,
disappointed.
Like, this shit is it's insane, like, to the point where they look like real people. And one of the other one, the videos that's called, I think it's the one that's Meet the MetaHumans, they have people talking, because that's always the thing. Like, sure, a face can look good, but like, you have to see it, the facial animation, and see how it moves to determine how realistic it is. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ, like, the way that their mouths move, their eyes, like the even their lips, like the detail on their lips, just, it looks like a real person. Like, you could still tell that it's, you know, animated.
Not real.
Right. But
it's getting close where it's like, this is Uncanny Valley kind of shit.
Yeah. Which is what I want. Like, I can't wait till we get to the point with video games where it's like, this isn't a video game anymore. Like, this looks like real life. That's what I want.
And especially like when you start getting into VR and augmented reality stuff and like.
Yes.
Yeah, instead of like,
insane.
You know, the games now that you can meet people. What's the game that you can meet people in like a virtual world kind of thing?
I don't know, but it's always awesome.
Yeah, it's always fucking hilarious because people just like get random skins. Like, you could do that, but like real, you could look real.
Yeah, like you could do like a Second Life type of game, but real Second Life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
which then you get into craziness of like, people not leaving.
Yeah. Hey, listen, there's a pandemic going on. You can't leave anyway.
Yeah, that is true. Have they said if this is going to be a release or is this an actual thing?
To me, when it comes to Unreal Engine stuff, it reminds me of Google, where it's like, this could just be a prototype for something. Who knows if this will ever be real, you know, realized. Mm-hmm. But in reality, like, nobody, even Epic themselves, can take full advantage of this engine anyway. Like, when you look at the tech demo for Unreal Engine 4, which came out in, I don't know, 2012 or something. Let me see. Unreal Engine 4. I don't care about the most stable release, which was 2 months ago.
They said that Epic has said that MetaHuman Creator is in a broad 2021 release. But you can, if you're an interested developer or artist, you can sign up on their site to get like more instant updates.
Access. Yeah. Okay. Unreal Engine 4 was launched in 2014. And if you look at the tech demo for Unreal Engine 4, it looks far beyond better than any game that it's out now.
Yeah.
So like Unreal Engine 5, I saw the tech demo at E3 last year, I think it was, and it was like mind blowing. It was like, I cannot believe games are going to look like this. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Don't believe it, because games aren't going to look like that.
Yeah.
Games well, because are looking usually, like what Unreal Engine 3 looks like now.
Yeah. Well, because usually, you know, those things that they've created in Unreal Engine are usually not, and they're not games. They're just tech demos, so they can be rendered. They just have to render a little piece, and that's it. Unlike real games that have to render miles.
Exactly. Yeah, they can fully take advantage of every possible aspect of the engine. But that's where this comes into play is, you know, when is this going to be released? When is this going to be used? A long, long, long time.
Like, yeah.
When you look at these metahumans, don't expect people in video games to look like that for another 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Because I think developers have to get a hold of it. They have to be able to use it. And they have to be able to develop for it specifically for PC, because if they have to downgrade consoles, they're fucked.
Right, yeah. And then they have to be able to utilize the power of that within the broader scope of a functioning game.
Yeah.
Which is going to take more power away from what can be used to make those humans to begin with. So, like, we're a long way off from seeing this actually utilized the way that it looks right now.
Yeah. I want to know, like, if this is ever going to be used by Hollywood.
That's where it should be used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
Tron 3.
Yeah. I'd be interested actually to see, and that's maybe something that they should consider doing for, I mean, really a tech demo, is de-age some celebrities. You have reference points of what they looked like. De-age some celebrities and pitch that. Like, can you imagine how much more like funding they could get from Disney if they started utilizing this in utilizing Unreal Engine in Marvel movies, like,
yeah,
you know, or in Disney stuff, like, you know, spoilers for Mandalorian, it's over, but you know, Luke Skywalker made an appearance in the last episode of Mandalorian and he was de-aged and it looked okay, but it was a little bit unreal, uncanny valley, because, like, I don't know, just the way it looked, like his head movements and stuff, just and his mouth movements especially looked CGI. Mm. If they could utilize this to de-age people in a really realistic way, like, that's the amount of money that they could make off something like that is insane. And then they could really make epic games like the store, epic, you know, their launcher, the biggest, most expensive piece of shit you will ever download onto your computer.
Yes.
Oh, but yeah, it's crazy that PC downloading thing is the same as making this incredible monster of a program.
Yeah.
Like, same company. Like, it's just so weird.
Yeah, it's very strange because, like, an Unreal Engine's not a new thing. I mean, we're on Unreal Engine coming up on 5 now. Unreal Engine has been a thing since, like, the late 90s.
Yeah.
Is when Unreal the first Tournament, Unreal Engine came out. Exactly. So, like, you would think that, like, being the most coveted engine out there would lead them to some sense of, like, not garbage. But, like, look at what else they create. Like, it's basically their Fortnite and then a bad launcher. Like, what else do they have?
Yeah. So they made a game in this engine called Unreal. That was the first game ever made with this thing. And then it was made to compete with id Software, so Doom and Quake.
Yep.
And then I think the first game ever, like, full game ever made was, let's see, NK16, I don't know, probably Unreal Tournament.
Unreal Tournament, probably. Unless they did it for Age of Wonders.
There's Deus Ex, The Wheel of Time, and Duke Nukem Forever.
Duke Nukem Forever is 2011, so that's way, way later.
Well, I think it was originally planned for that.
And then, that was originally planned for, like, 2000 release. But like, you know, look at Epic Games like list of games. So you have Unreal Tournament. Unreal Tournament 2004 is one of my favorite PC games. It's so much damn fun. Then you have Gears of War. Like, that's a huge franchise. You have Shadow Complex, which is one of my favorite Xbox Live arcade games. It's a short little Metroidvania game, and it is one of the best games I've ever played. You have Bulletstorm, which was not very well received. I wonder if you looked at the Metacritic score for that, it's probably pretty low. Actually, it's got good reviews, but I don't know. It just seems like one of those games that just fell off. And then it's really just been like Fortnite, and then they pumped out Gears 5.
Holy shit. Actually, Digital Extremes worked on Unreal.
Yeah.
Really?
They worked on all the Unreal games. With Epic.
That's crazy.
So they went from that to fucking Warframe.
To fucking Warframe. So there was a new Unreal Tournament game coming out a couple years ago. And I played a beta of it. And it was like, it was almost there. Like, it had promise. Yep. They just needed to... They needed to come up with some new ideas and put a lot of polish on it, but like the gameplay itself was really good, and they just fucking canceled the game.
Yep, 2018 canceled.
Yeah, it's because they took everybody off the project and threw them on Fortnite.
Yep, they have Gears of War they worked on, Bulletstorm.
But they didn't do Gears 5, I don't think.
Don't think so. They did Gears of War Judgment was the last one.
Which is really funny because Gears 5 is the only, like, I hate Gears of War. Gears 5, I was like, wow, this game is actually kind of good. And it's the one that they didn't do.
Nice. They redid Shadow Complex Remastered. Infinity yeah. Blade 3? What the fuck is that?
I've never heard of Infinity Blade
and
before,
then it's just a bunch of Fortnite.
Yep. It's like Infinity Blade is an iOS game.
Yep.
Like,
they've done three of those. So it's been Unreal
it's not
Tournament.
An extensive library.
Yeah, they've done Unreal Tournament, Gears, Fortnite.
And then and then think about that. Those are all made in Unreal Engine. And Gears looks good for a console game, because they decided not to put any colors in it, so all the processing power can just go to graphics, I guess. But like,
got them.
Unreal Tournament never looked good. And that's not just like some other studio trying to make use of Unreal Engine. Like, Unreal Engine was made for that fucking game.
Yeah.
And it didn't even look that good. Like,
no, it never looked
nothing they
great.
Make in their own engine looks exceptionally great.
Yeah, not really. I don't know why either. They should just stick to developing
tech demos.
The tech demos.
Well,
that's
Fortnite, what I'm saying.
Apparently,
like,
because they've probably made, I wonder if they've made more money with Fortnite or selling licenses for Unreal Engine.
Honestly, they might have made more money with Fortnite. Like,
that hurts.
It's crazy how much money they make with, they make like billions of dollars every year in Fortnite.
That hurts so much.
And now it's just in everything, too.
Yeah. You know why Bulletstorm didn't do well? It was because, for some reason, this game, somebody went on Fox News, a psychologist went on Fox News and claimed that this game was the reason for an increase in rapes in our country. And
the fuck?
Yeah. And people lost it. So there was like this whole fucking thing with Fox News versus Bulletstorm because of rape.
I see it now. Yep.
Yeah, the CEO of Epic said that Fox News actually helped the game reach a wider audience, so it probably sold more games in the end. But
that's what usually happens.
Yeah, that is usually what happens.
So, it's crazy to see what they can do with that, because game creators, like, character creators can either be way too fucking complicated or not enough options, and this borders on the extreme.
This borders on it's going to take you longer to make a character than to do anything else in the game. Yeah. Like,
It's like
your first 90 hours of gameplay are going to be character creation.
It's like either like Skyrim or Fallout, where you're just creating a character for 8 hours and then go to play the game and you're like, I'm too tired.
Yeah.
I'll play the game tomorrow. I built the character. I'm fine. And then you're unhappy with the character, so you redo the game again.
That's just what they need to get into. That's the area that character creation needs to get into, is like that sweet spot where you can have a really unique and realistic looking character that you can make in 30 or 60 minutes. Not like Fallout. Yeah. Fallout 4, I legitimately made my character for like 2.5 hours and I blazed through it, I thought. And then I was like, wow, I spent 2.5 hours making this character and I hate this game.
God damn it. Yeah, it's when they get to a point where you're like changing, like, you know, muscles in the mouth and like how pointy or sharp they are and shit like that. Like,
yeah, and like the bridge of the nose and stuff. Mm-hmm. But man, you can make really unique looking people. I just want them to bring back, and EA used to do this. You could take a picture of your face and upload it into Tiger Woods. Like,
yeah,
I want that again.
Upload it into Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Yes.
I into would shove it up his ass. used to. For like the Rainbow Six games, you used to be able to have the camera on the, I think it was the PlayStation, take a picture of your face and it would plant it on your dude. It looked nothing like you, and it was
That's
scary.
The thing. Tiger Woods and Tiger Woods 2010 or something like that. I did that, uploaded it to EA servers, just used a digital camera and took a picture of my face. And you like outline your character a little bit to make it. But like the dude looked like me, like surprisingly like me for a game that was, you know, made on the Wii in 2010. Like it looked good. And that's to
when
me,
Tiger
I think
Woods
that's what
games,
they need to get to.
When Tiger Woods games had motion controls.
And Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. When golf games use motion controls and that bullshit. Yep.
Yeah, seriously. I just think that that's what they need to get back to, because you always want to get lost in your character. And like, that's the point, especially of like story driven games and RPGs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, what better way to do that than for your character to look like you?
I don't do that. I don't make my character look like me in the slightest. Cause I'm an ugly motherfucker and I'd rather not stare at my face all day. So,
I pick women when I play most games, so usually it doesn't look like me either. But if I, and that's probably because I can't make it look anything like me, because there's just going to be some dude, and I'm just like, see that I'm the opposite. I'm like, I'm an ugly motherfucker, and I want my ugliness on screen rather than some dude where I'm just like, yeah,
I
you're
subject
way too good
others.
Looking to be me.
Yeah, everyone must see this. Oh boy. So yeah, go check out the demos for MetaHuman character creator, because it is
ridiculous.
Wildly fascinating.
Yeah.
So that's all for us this week. Thank you for listening. To find our social media links, previous episodes, or leave us a voice message, please visit us at gemfailcast.com. Normally here we would ask you to support our show with a small contribution, but this week we'd like you to consider donating to an organization like Black Lives Matter or the NAACP. If you like what you've heard, please follow us on Spotify or leave a review on iTunes. Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Bye.